Y'all know what it is.
Y'all ready?
Turn it up. 1, 2, 3.
Unscripted, unshackled, uncouth. What you're about to hear is for mature ears only. It's Miguel and Holly, uncensored, from Hot 101.5.
Rolling Stones are acting, not bragging. Look bigger than Jagger, not sagging. Sprawl it backwards, I'ma leave it at that. Daddy got nothing to do with rap.
Yeah, it's Miguel and Holly Uncensored. My name is Miguel Fuller.
I'm Holly O'Connor.
I'm Scotty the Body.
And this is Miguel and Holly Uncensored. And we want you to find us. You can download the Hot 101.5 app, listen there.
Mm-hmm.
Hot1015tampabay.com. Or if you have an iPhone, click on a little podcast app.
Mm-hmm.
Type in Miguel and Holly Uncensored. And if you do, just take a second and rate and subscribe to us, please.
Yes, thank you.
We will greatly appreciate it. So there's been a lot that's transpired since we last did a podcast.
Indeed.
We went to Chicago for morning show boot camp.
We did.
What else happened? We talked about vacation.
That was it. Wasn't it?
Was there anything else that happened?
When was the last time we did a podcast?
It was when we got back from vacation.
Oh.
It was when we got back from vacation.
Oh,
so
man,
it has been a minute.
Shoot.
Yeah. So, Holly, what's been going on in your neck of the woods, as Al Roker likes to say on the Today Show?
Well, in my neck of the woods, my kids started back to school, first grade. And, you know, it was a good transition, I think, for her, because it's the same school she was at last year, and it wasn't so crazy, like, you know, we just got to meet all these new people. She knows what she's going into, so it's been smooth. And then, of course, we did have morning show boot camp, which I was so glad I got to go this year.
Mm-hmm.
I had to miss out last year, again, because of her first day of school, but that was kindergarten. I had to be there. And so I haven't gone in 2 years. So going this year was so good for me radio-wise.
Mm.
Yes, the sessions are awesome, and I actually took a lot of notes about some of the things that we were learning about.
Oh.
I have a little notepad, and I remembered making a couple of notes on it that I wanted to bring up to you, Miguel. But it's just, it's a good time at the sessions.
Kill me?
No, yes, no. What?
That one of your notes, kill me.
It's so good to socialize and see these people that are in the trenches just like we are daily. And I know that sounds dumb. Like, you probably listen to this and think, okay, they talk for 4 hours. Like,
right.
It's not that difficult. But it's just, it's a weird kind of difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the way that you would think it is, to remain positive and upbeat and come in and try to be our best selves and entertain you and make you feel better about your day. So that is what boot camp does for me. It reinvigorates my love for the industry.
Yeah. Scott, this was your first time as a producer of a morning show. How was it for you?
It was good. It was good to actually understand what people were talking about, because last year I got to go as just an intern, and I got to just meet people on a smaller scale, people that were kind of just starting out, not really knowing. And this year is kind of an awakening moment, because I met people last year that were kind of in the same position, whether they worked on promotions or they're graduating college in a year. And so this year we all came back and we all were like promoted. We're all actually in the industry now, talking on the radio, have our own things going on. And so it was kind of cool to see within a year how much growth was already done.
Mm.
But also during the sessions and everything, when people are talking about what's going on within radio, what's the next thing that's going to be popping up and how could you get better, it made sense. And to actually have those conversations with other radio people and to feel like I actually kind of matter in the equation now was a different feeling than it was last year.
Now, these people that you go, that you're sort of like all starting out together, like, do y'all keep in contact with each other throughout the year?
Yeah, I mean, we'll message each other on like Facebook or Instagram on each other's posts. Sometimes we'll post things that whether we're doing something in the radio station or something like we just got promoted or graduated and everything, and we'll keep in contact there of like what they're doing. And sometimes we communicate with, even if we do segments or bits that they want to know more about or that I want to know more about on their side, like what are they doing and things like that. So like they've asked about our show and to see like how do we do certain things, and I've explained like what works and why things are still
Why are you
happening.
Giving away our trade secrets? Don't nobody need to know what we do.
It's not trade secrets. You can go on the hot1015tampabay.com and see what we do.
But they don't know what we do behind the scenes.
No, it's
what
not
you're
behind
telling these
the
people.
Scenes.
No,
it's more so like why it works and why we do it. And so that was kind of cool because we got to see each other grow that way and see like, all right, we started off solo, not knowing anything, and now we kind of have a foot in the door officially.
Right. Now, is there anyone in the group that someone likes or like people don't like? Because you know, like in every group you have, and especially with radio people, we tend to be a little. There's two types of radio people. You have the very self-aware radio person who's sensitive, intuitive,
and that's
understands
kinda like why they're in radio, because they are emoters.
Yes,
and
yes, yes.
They feel people, and I'd put all of us solidly in that group. We're very aware of ourselves and our surroundings and what people are, what kind of energy people are throwing out.
But then you have some people that just talk at you and don't get it, and they don't listen. They just talk at you and try to be funny and be the center of attention all the time. Is there anyone like that in the young group that you're with that, you know, has tendencies that lean that way?
I didn't see it this year. Last year when we're all interning together, we all got a little more time. There's a lot more of us. And this year you got to see the people that I think are stepping up and actually still in it.
Right.
A lot of people weren't there that were there with me last year. And so they would have been the more self-centered kind of personality to kind of be all about them, and maybe that has a kind of connection to why they're not there this year or whatever happened. I don't know, but there's a small group of us that actually still stays connected, and all of us, I think, are on that same level of we know our self-awareness, and we know that we're all kind of in this together. Nobody's trying to battle each other out, and that's the coolest thing, especially because I see other people stepping up in different roles and everything like that, and the common thing is just constantly congratulating each other on each step along the way, because it's not a competition unless it's against ourselves. And that's the only battle that we're trying to face, is just how far could we go individually? Let's support each other along the way.
That is such a Gen Z thing to say. Like, if I were in a group like that when I started radio, I'd be like, well, that old bitch over there, Holly O'Connor over here, she got a promotion at her job. Well, I'm going to show her.
Yep.
Guess what I did this week, bitch.
Well, that's how Miguel is, though. Like, that's how you always have been. Maybe it is a millennial versus a Gen Z thing. And I wish that the studies that would, like, some, for show prep purposes, we get a lot of studies that come through that compare, like, boomers to Gen X to millennials. And I'm like, does no one realize that there is an entire group coming up that should be surveyed as well?
No.
This Gen Z thing? No, nobody thinks that. They all think millennials have their mittens hanging out their coat.
Like, oh, yeah. I mean, I that is still a thought with people that are older. I was listening to a podcast recently, and it was only from maybe 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, well, we need to learn how to speak to the millennials. And I'm like, bruh, the millennials, we're in our fucking 30s right now. Like,
we're almost
we're
40 in this bitch.
Like, I'm waiting until you retire and get your 401k and get your ass out so I can lower my health care.
Right.
That's what I'm waiting for. And if you are, I apologize.
Oh.
And I don't mean it towards you.
No.
I'm talking about strictly radio people. That's
You're talking about not the woke.
Yeah, not the woke people who get it and who understand.
Right.
So that's just so interesting to me how you all are just so congratulatory to each other and like, yay.
Well, I feel like you have to be. I think that's something I think you go through it when you're in a young profession of like, of course, in my back of my head, I'm like, you compare yourself and you're like, why am I not that far, much farther along? And then I've been practicing constantly, especially over this past couple months and this year, of like taking a step back and realizing like my path is completely different than your path. And I got to accept that, you know what, something's going to come along the way, or I'm doing perfectly fine and where I'm at. And you know what, whatever you're going through, and even if you are a step further, and I guess other people's eyes, we all have an end goal that we're trying to get to. And if you get stuck comparing yourself to others, you're only stopping your own progress.
Man.
And I don't want that to happen to me.
That is really, for you to be 22 and have that perspective, it's very mature.
I mean, do you believe it? And like, and I'm not saying this to be like, I'm calling you out, because like, there are a lot of things that advice I will give that I might not necessarily take myself. Because I'm human, and yes, in a perfect world, I would love to be able to say that I am cheering people on, because I am, but we're humans, and we're complicated, and we have lots of different layers.
And we're competitive.
Exactly. And in the same breath of congratulations, you're succeeding, I'm also like, well, fuck you, bitch, because I should have gotten that raise, I should have been in that position, and I'm only here. So is there a little bit of that, or do you fully feel what you say?
I think that there's a difference there. It's like, of course, as humans, you have that initial thought, that competitive thought of like, why am I not in that same position? But it's like, it's, I think for me, it's what I do after that. It's not letting myself sulk and get in a small and dark place and realizing that I'm not as far along as somebody else. I initially have those thoughts. Yes, of course, but at the other side of my brain, it's like, look, again, you're doing perfectly fine and you have to trust your own progress going along this track. Because again, like I said, the moment that I put that away and just worry about what they're doing and just constantly look at myself as less than, I'm going to treat myself as less than and not keep going on that same pace that I already was. And so I think we all have those thoughts. I think that's a human reaction. You're going to constantly compare yourself to others. Very normal. But then what are you going to do after that? Are you going to use that as motivation to be like, you know what? That's awesome that they're doing that. How did they get that much farther? What are they doing? I got to step up my game and keep going and trusting that if I keep working hard, I am going to go to that next step.
Holly, who's one person that you compare yourself to, whether it's being a mom, being a radio person, just being a human being, but who's the person that you look at and you're like, I'm so happy for you, but gosh damn it, I wish that I had what you had. Or do you think that at all?
Give me a second.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody that I'm like, would you say jealous of?
Yeah.
Is that a good word?
Yeah. I mean, but when I hear the word jealous, I'm thinking that like, that's the sole emotion. Like, there's no other, because what I'm getting at is that how we're like complicated and how you can root for someone, but at the same time still be jealous of their status or their money or their position or where they are in life, emotionally, spiritually, financially.
Okay.
Maybe someone from your past, someone in the radio industry.
I'm having a hard time thinking of someone. Like, I guess what I usually do, and it's not one person, but people, I would say if it does happen, it happens most often with other mothers that appear to have their lives together and well-behaved children. And that's probably where it's most effective. Like, in radio, I don't really have a lot of it. I think it's mostly for other moms because it's like I always feel like I'm behind the game. Like, I always feel like, why do I not know better at this stage? Like, I'm a pretty educated woman who should be more knowledgeable on how to handle a tiny human. Mm. And it always feels like I'm playing catch up or like I didn't even think about some of the other stuff. I'm trying to think of a very delicate way to put this out there. I don't know if it's possible. Mm. Let's just say you've got a male in a child's life who a girl's life, a little girl's life, who says to her something along the lines of, "Get your ass in the bedroom." Mm-hmm. And obviously, you probably shouldn't swear at said child. But like, that's my thinking. Like, don't use those words around a child. Whereas speaking to some other mothers or whatever, the perspective was brought to my attention that now this girl child is learning that it's okay for men to speak to her like that. And I was like, oh, damn. Why I didn't think of that? Like, right. You know what I mean? It's like sometimes I just find myself being like, wow, you are better than me. And I feel, just using that as a random one-off example, I feel like I'm always trying to play catch-up to other moms, and they always seem like they're more involved, more active, more scheduled out than me. And so I guess that's the only place in my life where that feeling comes in. But what I was going to say, just can I make a quick side tangent?
Yeah, please.
Listening to Scott, two things. First of all, I noticed this year at boot camp that there weren't as many of those self-centered, look at me people in general.
Right.
I mean, in the entire industry, not just the young up-and-comers, but like even the old-timers, if you will, the ones that seem to be still there are the people that are more self-aware.
Yeah.
And I think, to lead to the second point, it is indicative that the America, the world maybe, is actually going through a bit of an awakening right now.
Yeah.
And so the fact that Scott can point so succinctly to that feeling, that behavior, it shows me that our TV programming, our, you know, videos online, and as much as there's a lot of bad shit online, that we're sort of becoming more aware that we're all here and we're all in this together. Now, obviously, there's a lot of people that are stuck in the mud in their own ignorant self-beliefs. And I think maybe because we see those people, they're so loud, you hear those people so often that you think that it's still like that.
Right.
But I really think, especially with this Gen Z generation coming up, that that is going to be the minority. And I would hope that's the case. Like, that's what I feel like that as millennials, that's what we want. Like, that's what we were fighting for. And so now it seems like it's happening in this next generation where you are encouraging and you're not all stuck in your own head about it.
Yeah, it's really interesting to sort of look at change happening. Because when you're young, like in the early 2000s, and I remember being in college in 2004 and on my college campus, like starting a Young Democrats club. And that was when it was between Kerry and Bush. And I was like, you know, I'm gay and I'm here and I want to have rights. And then like in the state of Georgia, they voted. It was like 75 or something, 70, over 70% of people said we want to put that marriage is between a man and a woman into our state constitution. And I remember thinking, well, this is our only shot. Like, I will never see change for my lifetime.
Right.
Like, in my lifetime, I will never be able to get married. I will never be looked at as a full, equal human being. And then fast forward, you know,
almost 15 years.
15 years later, and I can get married now. And it's just insane to watch it happen. And then I think about like what my grandmother's seen, because she's in her 80s and she was born in her 30s.
Yeah.
In the fucking 30s. Like, just think about that. And like, sometimes that's why sometimes like, I want to do a podcast where I interview older Americans in the LGBTQ community, because it's just fascinating to me to think and to see that type of change. Like, right now, we can pinpoint the moment that things started to change for women when we woke up and the Harvey Weinstein story broke. And then that's when it started to unravel. And then the Matt Lauer, and then the Charlie Rose, and then all of these other men. And it was just like this cascade of all these stories. We saw change happen in front of our eyes.
Right.
And when we're older, that's the stuff that we'll be talking about and be like, well, I remember when this guy who used to wake up on the breakfast show on the Today Show had a button that used to lock women and we threw his ass out.
That is crazy to me.
And, so,
and it's still crazy to me because I grew up watching that bitch on the Thanksgiving Day parade.
And he would, after he would announce old Charlie Brown, he would go and press a button on his door and lock some unsuspecting woman in his office. But now he's paying for its consequences.
Right, right. And I just, it's really, it's mind-blowing to see the change happen. And here, sorry, I'm going to interrupt again.
No, please. Listen, this podcast going.
So, okay. So we talked about Saved by the Bell on our show this week because, you know, everybody went back to school this week. And Miguel, you played the theme song and we were like, Scott, I didn't even know what this show is, but you did. And you had like caught up with some reruns or something. And we all have very nostalgic, good memories of Saved by the Bell, right? Well, my best friend has a 10-year-old daughter. And she obviously was like, oh, you're going to want to watch this show, Saved by the Bell, because it's like, that's kind of what age I was when I got into it as well. So she's like, you definitely want to see this. I think it's on Hulu. So her daughter starts watching it, and she watched a couple episodes. I don't know the exact how many episodes she watched or which ones, but she goes, Mom, I don't like this show. And Aaron was like, what?
I'm sorry. How dare you not like Saved by the Bell?
You don't like Saved by the Bell. And what Ava said, the 10-year-old, was that it's sexist.
What?
Yeah. She was like, I don't like how they treat the girls on that show. Okay. So I haven't seen an episode of Saved by the Bell since maybe like my college years, because we would watch it again in college and loved it still, because that's what we grew up on. But the more I thought about it, I was like, I'm of the age where I grew up and it was completely and utterly acceptable to be sexist. And I mean, they even put it in kids' TV shows.
Yeah.
Like, here's something that girls can't or girls should do. Here's what boys should do. And then it just opened the floodgates of all this stuff that, you know, I grew up thinking was the norm. And it's interesting to be 37 years old as a woman and being in an age where it's not really acceptable anymore to treat people like this. But in my mind, I'm still like, oh, whatever. I'm just, you know, I came up with different rules and it's hard to change those beliefs and those almost like ingrained practices because you didn't even know that that's wrong.
That was the norm.
Yeah.
Oh.
Now looking back at that, what are some things that maybe we've done as a show or things that you experienced in your 20s that now looking back, you would have treated that situation differently?
I mean, there's probably tons.
Right.
But right off the top of my head, there was that instance when I was an intern for the radio station and I was still in college and I was interning and it was a rock station and they had a bar night. And one of the salesmen, the sales guys at the station, who was, by the way, dating the general manager at the time.
The big boss.
Uh-huh. She was, and I was really excited because it was a woman as the general manager. And I thought, oh, wow, this is like a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy that was dating her, we all go to this bar gig and I'm interning. So I'm just working and doing my job. And he comes up to me and whispered something so heinous and sexual in my ear about basically he wanted to get with me. And it was so off-putting because what he was talking about, I didn't even understand at that age because I was very sheltered. And, like, it scared me. And I didn't say anything to anybody because, A, I didn't want to get him in trouble. B, I didn't want to get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to make things uncomfortable at work. And I still wanted to get a job there.
Mm.
So that was just one. That's, like, the one that is probably the most prominent in my head.
Do you want to say what he said, or is it just so inappropriate you don't want to say? You don't have to if you don't want to.
I don't really want to.
No, that's fine. You don't want to. I'm curious, like, what was so bad? Was it, like, was he talking about, a specific sexual act?
Yeah. Well, he said he was going to make me
do something.
So. And then
it.
He followed up with so hard.
Oh.
And I was like, what? Like, I was just, ugh. I was sick about that for a long time.
I would love to talk with someone like that because that man was how old then?
He was probably in his 30s.
30s.
Probably 35, 37.
And
like the age that I am now.
Okay, so he's probably in his late 40s, early 50s. He probably has a daughter or a child.
Yeah.
I would want to have an honest conversation with someone like him and say, what made you think that that was okay?
Yeah.
Because I'm curious on what his answer would be, but I have a feeling a guy like that would probably say, well, I didn't think.
Mm-hmm.
I was just about my dick and getting off, and that was it.
And I don't think that makes him a terrible human being. I think that he was clearly misguided. I'm not saying it was right, by the way. I do not excuse this behavior.
Right.
But I don't think it, you know, I don't think he probably went on to continue to do behaviors like that.
Yeah.
Like, for the most part, like, when I would see him subsequently at work, he didn't say anything other than that. Like, he wasn't mean to me. He didn't consistently bully me or anything. That was sort of like a one-off thing.
Ugh.
But at the same time, I was like, now my view of you is completely tainted. I'm not coming anywhere near you. And this is another random tidbit that I thought about literally yesterday. I had an old Minnie Mouse show that I used to like to watch as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And at the advent of eBay, because that's how old I am, eBay comes out, and I always had the record because when we were kids, like in the 80s, there were records, and then it got to be cassette tapes or whatever, and so I had this record. It was called Totally Minnie. It was like Disney revamped Minnie in the 80s to be like hip and cool with her bangle bracelets.
Oh, hey, girl. Come on, Minnie.
It was a fucking bop, you guys.
Yes.
What
was it called?
It's called Totally Minnie.
Totally Minnie?
Yeah, and it was an entire album, and I think there might have been a TV show with Suzanne Summers in it that went along with it.
Yes, Thigh Master.
It was like a Disney special. But yeah, so it was called Totally Minnie. And it was seriously my bop. Wait.
Sunglasses. You think you're
is it going to record into the computer?
Yeah.
This might be it.
Is this it?
No,
it's a commercial.
Oh, no. Oh, this is a commercial.
Here to ask a very important question. Does this remind you of anyone?
Oh, that's just... Is there just a song or is it only the
commercial? Hold on, let me look for it. You can keep explaining. I'm going to look for it.
All right, y'all are going to be, like, downloading Totally Minnie.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying. So, anyway, I had that as a little kid. And then I think I was about maybe 25, and eBay was a thing. And I was like, I wonder if I could buy this album on CD now.
Mm.
And the only place that had it, like, some person in Australia
oh.
had it, and I bought it. Oh, this is the Minnie Mouse Elton John, Don't Go Breaking My Heart.
Is this not one of the songs?
It is one of the songs, but it's not. I'm just wondering if they just have the song Totally Minnie.
Oh, Totally Minnie? Okay.
It's called Totally Minnie. Okay. I think.
I want to hear, we're not leaving until we get this song because I
want
to hear.
If you want, when I'm done talking this story, I can go over there. Well, what's the first one?
Totally Minnie track. Oh, Totally
yes,
Minnie.
Yes, that's it.
Here we go.
Wait for it. This is my jam, y'all.
This is it.
I would put this on and dance in my basement.
She looks like it's Minnie Mouse as Madonna from the 80s.
Yes. And my mom didn't let me listen to Madonna, so I could. This is my speed. One of
mine's
made up to go. Oh, this
was
my jam.
Yes. Walt Disney Records in the house.
Yes.
Hold on.
Wait until they get to the chorus.
Hold on. We need to give it a 2019 spin.
That'll make you smile. To dig this out.
I wonder if it's on iTunes. I want to add that to my CrossFit playlist right now.
There's another couple really good songs on that album. I'm telling you, it is a fucking bop.
Oh my gosh, I want Totally Minnie.
I know. It was great. So I had this record and I remembered it like from my childhood. And when I was 25, I was like, God, I knew the song. I knew what it sounded like, but I'm like, where can I get it?
Mm.
iTunes wasn't a thing. You just couldn't get music in 05 like you can now. So I found it, like I said, someone had a CD in Australia. And I think I spent probably $30 to ship this fucking CD up here.
Oh, my Lord.
And I finally got it. And it was like the happiest day that I bought this for myself. Then right around that time, it's when I moved to Panama City to start the morning show with Kramer.
Mm.
And so one of our getting to know you talks or whatever, here's Kramer. And this was before you even came, Miguel. Oh. And he's like, was asking me about music or something. And I got excited. I was like, I have this CD of Totally Minnie, and I bought it. It's from my childhood, and I love it. And he said, that is so lame. You are such a dork. And I was like, I'm sorry, why am I such a dork? And he's like, okay, it would be super cute if a boy had bought that for you, or like some guy had got it for you because he knew that it was, you know, your favorite thing. But you buying it for yourself is really pathetic. And I, the wind was taken out of my sails. Mm. I was like, I don't have a boyfriend, and nor do I need one. Mm. I could buy the damn thing on my own. And, I think years later, that came up, and we talked about it, and he's like, oh, yeah, that was really kind of rude of me to say. I'm like, kind of? Yes, it was terribly rude to say.
That was the epitome of rude.
That was the epitome of sit down, girl, let this man do it for you.
Mm.
And I think a lot of that came from maybe his Southern upbringing. I don't know, but you get these ideas in your head, and I'm sure he didn't, I don't know. I don't think he did it to be mean necessarily, but that's just how he thought.
Right.
And that was like 09, mm-hmm. or no, I guess it was 07.
Yeah.
Like, this stuff is so new, and the millennials, the older millennials are really I think fascinated to see it happening so quickly, some of this change that turns over.
And I think also it's grappling with, you know, I always thought that I was a super woke person. I was I'm black and gay. Clearly I'm woke. But then I'm finding that there are some things that I'm and for instance, with Scott, and that's where because Scott, you've moved into, you know, my house.
Yeah.
And there have been legitimate conversations between my gay friends and I, who there are a couple of them that are close to your age that are, I think the youngest is 25.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to check ourselves to make sure that we're not speaking to you and objectifying you, because you're a good looking guy, but making sure that we're not objectifying you like a guy would do to Holly, because it's just as wrong. Obviously you're more than that. And so it's just interesting how no matter how woke you think you are, you still have to check yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what it all comes down to is making sure, is the other person comfortable? Are they okay? Is this appropriate? Would you want this said to you? Or would you want it said to, if you had a child or if you do have children, would you want it said to them?
Right. Right. It's just, and no one's saying, and this is the unfortunate part.
Uh-huh.
Because you have those warriors online that are so quick to, like, just cancel you, basically. We're living in canceled culture. Mm-hmm. You do one misstep, and you are canceled. You're done. And that doesn't leave any room for growth.
Exactly.
Okay? So, like, people are going to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people are going to get it wrong every once in a while. And maybe someone's going to say something truly offensive, but didn't mean to be malicious about it, just didn't think in the way yet. Well, your job, old warrior over there on your keyboard, is not to slay them down. It's to say, oh, hey, I saw this is what happened, and it may be in the kindest way you can. Because a lot of people are open to learning, is be like, you know, that's not really cool right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then try to help, because make it a teachable moment.
Right.
And that's the biggest problem. And that's the biggest, I think, preventer of the people that are stuck in the mud, like we talked about earlier, from helping themselves or changing at all.
Right.
Because especially, and I feel for the straight white men right now.
Yeah.
If you're a straight white man, you're basically shit because everybody else is like, well, you had your rights for all these years, so you can just take all the seats. True. However, now you're putting these straight white men in a position to feel shameful. Even if they never did anything like that kept the man down. But now it's like, you don't get a voice because you're straight and white and a man. So what's going to happen is what keeps happening, because all the oppressed become the oppressors.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, now you're going to have this whole entire mutiny of these straight white men that have no idea what to do with these feelings because no one takes the time to explain it to them or, you know, whatever. And I think we see it in some of the school shootings.
I was just about to say, you see it manifested in school shootings.
Yes.
These guys have the same profile. I think it was on either CNN or I think it was maybe Fox 13, our local station here in Tampa, and they had three of the different shooters, and they all looked the same. It was a pale white guy with, like, a bowl haircut with, like, gray glasses.
Yeah. And, I mean, even beside the fact that they all literally look the same, which is alarming, it's almost always the profile of this straight white man that the screw came loose and he turned into a mass murderer.
Do you feel that way ever, Scott? Not like a mass murderer, but like you feel that people are, what would be the word? I mean, do you feel like you're on the outskirts almost?
Would
as
it
a
be marginalized?
White man? Marginalized, I guess.
You know, I was about to say no, but as I think about it, I think it's a weird place because you sometimes want to throw your opinion in things and just kind of, even if you want to offer your thoughts to learn, even if you're on the same side, you still do get that kind of that fight back of like, it doesn't matter like what you think.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like you're not a part of this conversation. And there's been cases where I want to be because I'm all for like, let's keep getting better, people. But there is that part of like, if I say this, like you're kind of putting your hands up and like, all right, there could be some shots taken. People could just throw things that literally might even not have anything to do with you. But the fact, and I'm not saying like, oh, I deserve. Like,
but see, you can't even talk about it right now.
Exactly. But that's kind of how
scared.
It is. Well, no, legit. Mm-hmm. Because if I did, let's say Facebook, let's just say the internet, because it's the worst place ever to throw any opinion.
Yes.
Oh, God, yes.
But if I throw something on somebody's like fighting for something, even if it agrees with them, somebody else could comment and be like, shut up. Like, you don't get it because you're not in that group. You're a white, straight male. You don't get it. I'm not saying that I have been through it. I'm saying that I agree with you and I want to fight with you. And those are the problems where it's like, people are trying to fight along with these alliances and join together. You can't tell those people to shut up because at the end of the day, like, this is only going to get better when people are together. And so those have been battles. Those have definitely been battles. And as you just heard, like, there is a fear of, like, where do I interject? Where is my opinion even appreciated?
Mm-hmm. And these white men have zero resources because they've all been taught that, like, emotions are bad and you can't share your opinion because you got to be strong. Well, that basically, it's a powder keg, and it has been lit. Because then where's the help for these men? Now, I'm not saying, like, oh, poor white men.
Right.
Because look at me even trying to, like, step away from that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, you cannot, when you are fighting for your own self, like, as a woman, and I don't even want to get into, like, women of color who have it twice as bad as any other group, but it's like, yes, I want to see this group succeed, and I want to see that I want to help, you know, as a white woman, I want to try to learn and accept and understand, but it's really hard. So you just kind of like slink back to the shadows and you're like, my opinion is not wanted, valid, warranted, nothing. And I don't know how to make those conversations
come together.
Better. Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
I think it's everybody, and here is your pie in the sky moment that'll never happen. But in a perfect utopia, everyone would be able to talk without fear and everyone would listen without judgment.
Yes.
Because that's what it should come down to. I should be able to walk into our boss's office and not our, well, the higher ups, I should say, of any company I work for and say, I don't feel like I'm being heard because I feel, and I'm saying how I feel, that you, as an older white male who have been in this business for a long time, only see your way as the right way, and me, as a gay black man who have had an entirely different experience than you have, I bring a fresh perspective, a different set of eyeballs. I just want to be heard.
Right.
But I'd never be able to say that. And then if I did say it, they'd be like, oh, so I'm just an old white man. That's what. And so it's just if everybody could just speak without fear and then listen without judgment, I think it would move us a little further along than where we are right now.
Because you do have those stereotypical straight white older men who just don't give any fucks.
None.
And I'm like, you are the problem. And you're causing these generational ramifications for the young white men that are trying to live life and understand it. Mm-hmm. But now they all group together.
Mm-hmm. I have a quick, God, we're so over time right now, but I'm so curious. Scott, your father is in his, what, 50s?
50s, yeah.
50s. Does he ever look at your life and sort of question it? I mean, your dad, he's from the South, right?
Yeah. He was born in Miami.
Miami,
so
okay.
Up there, yeah.
So you have a girlfriend that is of Asian and Middle Eastern descent.
Yeah, yeah.
You live with a gay black man who is with a white man. You got a lot of different things going on than what your father saw when he was growing up. And does he ever, like, just ask you, like, about, or is he curious, or does he ever speak concern about your life? And this is having a conversation in a safe space with no judgment, because he grew up in a time when it was completely different.
This has been some of the most interesting conversations recently. I don't think it's much as, my dad has always been kind of on the rebel side. Like when everyone was going one way, like, let me fight the other way or fight for the people that are on the bottom. And so that's definitely helped. I think the biggest conversation so far has me definitely been like moving in with you and just understanding that. Because I think that is a world when he grew up, I guess like the gay culture, it wasn't as outspoken and there weren't all these things going on to help it. And even in my own life, before I came to Tampa, very much on a smaller spectrum. I knew about it. I was all for it, but I didn't know enough about it. And so now I think the conversation is like, you know, like what, I guess pretty much like, what is the dynamic like? Like, how does that even really function in a world of like, you're living with literally a house full of gays.
Right.
What is that like?
Right.
And it's kind of like for me, and I've explained it to him pretty recently, it's like for me, I've kind of grown up in this. Like I've grown up where this is the norm. It never felt different. I'm like, these are just, to me, it's people with people.
Right.
So that's awesome at the same time. And I think for him, it's like just trying to like switch that brain around and realize that back then it wasn't the norm.
Mm-hmm.
But my perspective is not his because I've always had this kind of perspective of gay rights and people all together for the same thing.
Right.
He's just having that problem of like wrapping his head around the whole kind of, I guess, the deal of it.
Yeah. Because, and that's the same thing like with what I'm talking about, where you grew up a certain way. You didn't even entertain the possibility that it could be another way in your lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And when it is, then you're like, whoa.
Yeah. Like I think back then it was more like it was such a shock. I think when my dad, like, I think we were talking about when he first saw, like, I guess, like, two men or two women. It was like, back then, it was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God.
Right.
What is happening?
Yeah.
Like, this is different. And so he still kind of has that thought of, like, is it like that? I'm like, no. Like,
right.
I literally, since I could remember, like, this has just been my normal. And now it's just I'm around it more.
Yeah.
And so it's even helping, like, just patch on, like, this is just the norm.
Yeah.
And so I'm so used to it. And now he kind of sees, like, oh, that's interesting how, because I grew up in a time that wasn't like this, I don't have that perspective. And it's cool to see you going through it, that this is all you know.
Yeah. it's fascinating because it's such a different mesh of people and cultures, and I can only imagine, you know, what your parents are thinking, and they're like, oh my gosh, like, he's moving in just house of crazy, you know, but it's like, and you see, like, we're just like anybody else. Like,
yes.
I cook dinner. And then actually my boyfriend the other day, he was like, I feel like we're turning into like a 1955 couple. Like he comes home, I'm cooking, and he'll be like, let me get a beer real quick. And he sits down on the couch, and I'm like, get off the couch. You're stinky from work. Go take a shower.
Oh my God.
And then he comes downstairs with his beer in his hand. He's like, is the food ready? I'm like, yeah, hurry up, sit down.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
And so it's just, we're just like everybody else, except for on the weekends when we have orgies. So, I mean, that's when it's different.
Oh, my God.
But we will never ask you to participate. So, don't worry.
Now Minnie's all dragged into this, too. That's okay. That totally, Minnie, was about breaking boundaries.
Exactly. Listen, full circle, okay?
I'm going to get the CD out of my car. Oh, wait, I don't have a CD player in my car.
I bet you can find it on iTunes.
I'm looking today.
Or YouTube.
Totally many.
I bet it is on iTunes. I'm gonna pull that
for
up.
For sure.
All right, Holly, what's all your social media?
All right, it is Radio Holly on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, which I don't use that much. And then Holly on Hot 101.5 on Facebook.
Scott?
At Scott Tavlin, ScottTavlin.
Is Danny out there? Danny!
Oh, we're coming to the little bridge. As a grown-ass woman, this is what I grew up with.
Right.
That's how it is. Is there any way I wasn't going to be a top 40 personality? No.
DJ AR Smooth.
Okay.
What's going on? Hi. Good morning.
Are you in for Danny today?
I am, yeah.
Oh, dope.
Yeah, filling in, you know what I mean? Trying to boost these ratings. We'll see what happens.
Oh!
Okay. No, I'm joking.
Oh. I like it. Bring it.
That was good. I'm setting the bar too high for myself.
Wow.
No, always right. Set the bar high. Yeah, always set it high.
Well, we just wanted to, well, I didn't know you were filling in for him. I was going to let him give a shout out for his social media since we are filling in or we're spilling over into his time. But we're spilling into your time, DJ AR Smooth. What's all your social media on our Uncensored podcast?
You can follow me at DJ AR Smooth on Instagram and Facebook and Snapchat. And then Danny on the Radio for Danny, Instagram and all social media platforms.
Can you make Holly a special mix of Totally Mini from the early 90s?
From the early 90s?
And it's actually from the late 80s.
Oh, late 80s.
Late 80s, like 89, 80. I got you. I think it could work something out
it's
for you.
It's Totally
dude.
Mini. There's an album. And then the next song after this is a bop, too. I was like,
oh, my gosh.
Like, y'all, it's so good. Oh, by the way, if you really love some like late 80s kid pop music, next, look up Flash Beagle.
Oh gosh! All right, we gotta go. Flash Beagle.
Listen, what other? I'm not gonna try to bring up this at any other podcast, so I have to squeeze it in now.
No. I want to hear Flash Beagle. So we need to write that down. Next week, we'll do that on the next Uncensored podcast.
Okay, good.
All right.
Good.
All right. You can find me Miguel Fuller, MiguelFuller on Instagram and Snapchat. Until next week, bye, y'all.
Want more Miguel and Holly? Listen to past episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored at Hot 101.5 TampaBay.com, the Hot 101.5 app, or on iTunes.